This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
9:03 on this Saturday morning. Time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Mark Steeren, your State Farm Insurance agent in Litchfield. Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing in Litchfield. By DC Waste and Recycling in Hillsboro. Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield. The Huff Funeral Homes in Hillsboro, Raymond, and Farmersville. By CTI Tech, bringing 1-gig internet to Hillsboro and beyond. Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. And by Garrell's Auto Body and Repair in Litchfield. And on this Saturday morning, we join WSMI's Tim Mize.
David Jenkins, thank you so much, and we are 6 days away from high school football kicking off here in 2019. Welcome to our football preview show. We're going to talk to all sorts of our area coaches coming up here during this hour plus on Sports Saturday. And, of course, if the football districts happen when they are supposed to happen, we have just 2 years of high school football left as we know it with conference play. Of course, the Carlinville Cavaliers coming off of that South Central Conference Championship. They got all the way to the state semifinals last year. They're 34-5 over the last three seasons. They haven't won fewer than six games since 2008. It has been an impressive string of excellence under Chad Easterday, who's entering his 12th season as the Cavs head coach. They've made the playoffs every year. He's sitting on 93 victories, and Andy Easton's the only Carlinville coach in school history to reach 100 wins. And when the Cavaliers take the field on Friday night at Roxana, it will be the 1,000th game in program history. That is a lot of football that has been played over the years at Carlinville. And Chad Easterday joined us on the phone right now. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, doing well. And I can only imagine that starting now, you know, for the next 10, 11, 12 weeks, whatever, the best part of your week is about the 10 minutes you get to spend talking to us, I would imagine. I don't know what could be better.
Wow, Tim, you put it so gracefully. You are so right.
Chad,
absolutely, guys.
Hey, we always appreciate the time you give us on Saturday mornings. And I know you've told us over the years, you know, you're just – the current person in charge of the Carlinville program, but come Friday night, the 1,000th game in school history. That's amazing.
Yeah, somebody told me that, so that's a great stat. I mean, you know, you said it best. You know, Carlinville football's been around for a long, long time, so this is part of that special, and, you know, the kids are kind of excited. It's kind of a historical moment, I think, and it's just kind of cool.
It's very cool, and of course, you've won a lot of games over that time as well, but maybe the 3 years that you guys are coming off of might be the most dominant run that Carlinville football has ever seen. And, Chad, I don't know, maybe the Greenville teams from a decade ago or whatever graduated more talent off a single team, but I don't remember one team having to replace so much elite-level talent from 1 year.
Boy, you throw that one right out of the gate.
Hey, let's go right out of the gate.
I tell you what, you know what? The group of seniors that left, we ended the season probably not the way we wanted to or where we did, but you know, you're right. And when you have those groups in the coaching world or the coaching clan, if you will use that terminology, you know, you get those guys and it's one of those special times that you have, and you know, enjoy it. We spent the off season enjoying it and all that good stuff, and we're ready to move on and that sort of stuff. You hate to say that out loud, but it's true. You know, life goes on, the sun comes up, that sort of good stuff. But you're correct. You know, we lost a lot of good football IQ wise and stuff like that, and those kids definitely made their mark on the history around here. So
I guess the positive thing to that would be that the kids who are stepping in now, they saw what it takes and how to get it done.
Sure, we talk daily on traditions and expectation levels and stress levels and all that good stuff. And the great thing is just to embrace it and not hide behind it and talk about it and those types of things, because, you know, we're going to play a football game next Friday night, and we fully expect to put our best foot forward and win the game and that type of stuff. So, you know, there's no real reason to spend a ton of time on the past. It's great. It was a great experience, and both for coaches and for kids, and we have another great group coming.
And you've always talked about reloading at Carlinville, not rebuilding. That will certainly be the case this year because the cupboard is not bare for the Cavaliers.
No. You know, when I talk to Hutch and you talk to people in Vandalia and all over our conference and either other conferences, you know, when you have those great elite teams, sometimes kids just don't win a starting spot because someone's better than them. Mm-hmm. It does not mean that they didn't deserve to start. It's just that maybe it was a skosh. Maybe it was a little bit. Maybe they would have started any other year. So, you know, those are things that we feel that we have and we feel that we'll hopefully show up and that type of thing. So, you know, it's a great problem to have as a head coach when you're that deep and you have kids that can play and are experienced and have experienced all the things you just talked about.
I remember Don Borgini said years ago, it comes down to blocking and tackling. So as you look at your line play this year, what are your expectations there?
You know, of the statement we just said, we had a lot of kids that probably played some halftime positions last year, one and a half on our rotational system that are filling in spots this year. And I think we got a pretty good old line up front. You know, we got some speed, obviously. I've never known a Carnival team not to have any speed.
Right.
So I don't know what's in the water around here, but I like it. Whatever it is, they need to keep adding it to it. So, you know, those types of things. And, Michael Bias is our quarterback, and he's got big shoes to fill, and he's taken on that role. And, you know, we're tailoring some things that he does well that maybe Jarrett didn't do as well. So, so we're going to stay within and what we do and how we stress people and, you know, make things happen.
And, you know, that we don't want to harp too much on last year because that is over. But the way you guys handled people last year, there were games where the kids who were playing this year got to play an entire half.
Yeah, you know, we've talked about that. You know, I think that is the only true thing that I think it will be, maybe be a shock or not the same as what we've seen the last 2 years. You know, a normal football game is supposed to be played four quarters.
Right.
When you have that group of what you just called elite, and I think they are, you know, some of those games didn't happen that way for a multitude of reasons. And Jared Easterday, Kyle Dixon, Jake Gambiel, Tucker Hughes, Blaze Blue, those names go on and on. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we prepped our kids for that, playing four quarters, tried to put them in practice situations where, you know, that's the case. And the other thing is mentally preparing coaches for that. You know, last year we spent some into the season, we were worried about getting kids rotational time. We're worried about stamina and those types of things. So we've that part of our program will maybe look a little different than in the past, but hopefully the end result will be the same.
And you mentioned tailoring some things for Michael Byatt specifically, and that's the key to coaching, isn't it, Chad? Not being rigid in your system. I've got a system. We're doing this no matter what the talent is. You have to evolve each year with the group that you have.
Well, I tell you what, she never listens to me talk, so I guess I can say the statement, and I'm sure there's somebody out there that won't like it. But, I mean, during football season, I tell my wife to win a football game. So I sound terrible, but you are 100% right. I've known some great coaches, and being able to adapt and be flexible and not bullheaded is the word that I like to use, to take those kids and find out what they're good at. And if you can tweak your system and manipulate it so you're tailoring those to what you can do and what the game allows you to do, I think that's where coaching staff, not head coaches, coaching staff shine. And we have a great coaching staff here, and I'm very fortunate that I have such a thing. So hopefully we're headed down that road, and hopefully it'll show up next Friday night. We'll find out.
Chad, you mentioned your staff. Is it the same staff as last year, or do you have any turnover?
Well, we did lose to retirement Coach Garrison, yeah, who's been around Carlinville for a long, long time, a great staff coach. He's been the freshman football coach here for years, and those are some great shoes to fill. So I had another assistant that took over that job. We had a new staff member on, Sean O'Brien. He's coached up north a little bit. We also have another volunteer of Josh Boston and Kyle Kleeman has helped over the years. So kids in the program, so we only have a couple additions on our staff, but our main seven that's been here forever is always here. And, you know, and I always got the gentleman in Nokomis that is always on my staff, so that always worked out really well for me. He's my level playing field. When I have a bad night or whatever else, he's watching huddle, and he calls me about 9:30, 10 o'clock. It gets me grounded and tells me to keep my head down and work a little harder. So,
Joe, that leads right into my final question for you. I was going to ask, who's more amped for next Friday night, you or your pops?
I'd have to call that a tie. So, you know, Tim, you of all people know the relationship that I have with him. I am an extension of him.
Yeah.
He always says it's the other way around. He'll be in the bleachers in the top row, left-hand corner,
mm-hmm.
where he normally likes to sit and watch the game. So, you know, it's kind of unique to have that relationship. And as long as he's vertical and moving, I'm sure he'll be there on Friday night.
And I don't think he sits and watches. I think he stands and paces and watches.
Well, I tell you what, it's kind of unique because one of the first couple years we had gone that Coach Borghini was at Gillespie, and I don't know who was watching the Gator at the administrator or whatever. Well, my dad's just like me. He just passed off. He owns the place. So he walked right on the field. He shook Don's hand on the other side. Don was in at Gillespie. Polo, Coach DeBrino was over there. We had a reunion out there from the old South Central going on. So, you know, he was at Monticello walking the field. He introduced himself to the entire custodial staff at Monticello. And so, you know, you're not going to, the world could fall down, I said, and Dan Easley still be standing there shaking hands or talking to somebody. So.
Chad, we always appreciate your time on Saturday morning, sir, and best of luck on Friday night, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, Tim.
All right, Chad Easley, the head coach of the Carletonville Cavaliers, who will play their 1,000th game in program history coming up. They will be at Roxana week one, and then big home games in weeks 2 and 3. They host Vandalia, they host Greenville, and, of course, Vandalia, Greenville, two of the odds-on favorites, at least in the preseason prognostications for the South Central Crown in 2019. But don't count the Cavaliers out. You can if you want, but it would be a big, big mistake to not think that when we get late in the year that Carletonville, they will be right there at the top of the heap vying for that South Central Conference championship. We need to get to a break. Much more to do here on the football preview show. When we come back, we'll talk to Topper head coach Aaron Duff when Sports Saturday rolls on following these messages.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
David Jenkins, thank you so much. As our football preview show continues, going to talk with Aaron Duff in just a moment. We'll have Litchfield's Tom Priddle coming up, and also Jacob Bilbrook of the Gillespie Miners on the way here on our football preview show. For the Hilltoppers, they are coming off of a 3-6 campaign, but if you remember, and remember, you are what your record was. There's no reason to dissect it any more than that. But sometimes when you look inside of the results, you can see, boy, a play here, a play there, and it could be completely different. That could have been the case for North Mac last year, making the playoffs and not in. It could have been the case for Hillsboro as well. They were just a few plays away from maybe being 6-3, but that's not the way that the ball bounced for them. So they went 3-6 last year after two consecutive playoff berths. And joining us on the phone right now is Aaron Duff for the Toppers. And Duffy, thank you for taking a few minutes out of your time. And I guess you guys are in film session right now?
Yep, we're watching film right now.
And as a coach, it's probably nice to get back into that routine because you guys like to watch the film as coaches.
Yes, yeah. I mean, it's a really good learning tool for our kids. You know, we got our freshmen here with their little scrimmage from last night learning. But when kids can see what we're talking about so they don't think we're lying to them all the time, you know, they actually see that and we can fix some things. It's really good.
I know the freshmen have gone through summer, but now, you know, the season's right here. Are the freshmen's eyes a little bit bigger now this week? Like, oh, man, this is real varsity football being around it.
Yeah. A lot of them are like that. You know, it's not JFL anymore, and it's like, we have real practice.
This is strange. And Duffy,
yeah.
Does it feel weird for you that this is your 12th season already back at your alma mater?
Yeah. Makes me feel old.
No, that can't be. And you got a few more responsibilities this year because you're also the AD. So talk a little bit about that just kind of extra time that you will commit now to being the athletic director as well.
I mean, it's been really busy, a little chaotic, but I tell you what, day goes by faster, keeps me busy. And I love sports. I love I love Hillsboro and our school, and now I'm involved in all of them. And it's been pretty good, and you know, it actually keeps me more focused.
There you go, and it keeps you off the streets too. You know, you gotta
yeah,
watch.
You know,
that.
I'm a big street guy.
I thought you might be. Talking with Aaron Duff, the head coach of the Hilltoppers. And Duffy, you got 15 letter winners coming back, 11 seniors, and then you got a good amount of starters back. So a nice place to start for 2019.
Yeah, we have a really good core group of guys that are back. I've been pleasantly surprised. We're a better football team than 1 year ago at this point right now. We've really improved up front, the offensive line and defensive lines. Our backfield's coming together real nice. Chase Teakin's probably going to take over at quarterback, can run the ball really well. Jonah Harkins is a hard-nosed runner. We got Joey Leip, Jude Bernalino, Drew Wilman. We got options this year where we can play several guys up front and in the backfield. We're not lacking in depth in those positions, which is nice.
And that has been a bit of an issue for you guys the last few years, is just the lack of depth and the ability to not be able to line up and just smash people right in the mouth.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're going to have a little bit of that ability to do that. We can go some double tight. We got two tight ends that we can use. Dylan McCandick and Jude Bernalino can go up to tight end. But we got probably seven offensive linemen, quality guys, that can come in and play varsity football and not miss a beat when we put one guy in for the other. So it's going to help. That helps us a lot. Number of wins, I don't know, can't tell you, but I know we're a better football team. Our kids are giving really good energy and effort for us.
And from a coaching perspective, that's really all you can ask, is for your kids to give everything they have. And if they do that, at the end of the year, the wins will be there.
Yeah, I mean, we just keep talking. Those two main words we've used this year is energy and effort, and the kids are doing it. They're doing what we're coaching them. We just pointed that on film. Technique-wise, they're actually doing what they're coached. They're not doing their own thing. They're buying into what we're teaching them, and that makes it fun for us as coaches as well. So it's been a really fun so far this summer and in the beginning of camp, and we're ready to get going for next Friday.
And the nice thing about your schedule this year, Duffy, you got five home games, but you don't have back-to-back road games at any point this year. That is a abnormal thing.
Yeah, it is. I really like that because, I mean, if people don't realize as a football coach, all this stuff you got to take with you to a game. And, it makes it a little more hectic.
No doubt. And you open up week one at home against Southwestern. And, you know, Southwestern has struggled the last few years. But in this South Central Conference, if you take anybody lightly, they'll jump up and get you.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I told the guys, they're not going to hear from me at all this year is, hey, this week is a big week. This game's a big game. No, all nine of them are. Mm-hmm. Anybody can come up and beat you. Our conference, I think, from top to bottom has been, pretty solid for the past few years, and you cannot take anybody for granted. And heck, it's high school football. You don't know what your guys are going to do each Friday night, so... I don't care what the record is, what they've done the past few years. You got to come to play every week.
And unlike other sports, where you might play 25, 30 games, you're guaranteed nine. So if you can't bring it for nine, something's wrong.
Exactly. These guys, one thing we preach is you never know when it can be over. You only get nine chances. Not like, baseball season, you have 30 games, yeah. And you make a mistake week one. Well, hey, you got 20 more games to improve. You got 8 weeks, and maybe not even that. You got 1 week next week, and you got to wait all week to do it. So football is, a little different in that aspect.
Duffy, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning, and best of luck next week.
Hey, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Aaron Duff, the head coach of the Hillsboro Hilltoppers, as they will open up with the Southwestern Piasaw Birds. They will then travel to Staunton. They host Roxana in week three, and then they travel to Greenville in week four. They'll have back-to-back home games in weeks five and six with Gillespie and Vandalia, at Carthendale in week seven, host the rivals from Litchfield in week eight, and then on the road at Pena in week nine. And of course, a number of years ago, Hillsboro-Pena was always that week nine matchup, and there were two years in a row for sure, maybe three, where they both entered 4-4, and that was a de facto playoff game for the Toppers several years ago when they would face Pena in week nine. The Litchfield Purple Panthers have had a calmer start to the year this year, it feels, and we're joined now by Purple Panther head coach Tom Priddle. Good morning, sir.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Hey, we're doing well, and I just mentioned it seems like a calmer start to year this year. We know what happened last year with the hectic nature. Are you going to have a team, not going to have a team, going to have a team? You ended up fielding a team. But this year, Mark Elbers came on as AD before the summer, and it just feels like this year, Tom, you guys knew, okay, we're going to have a team, So let's go play some football.
Yeah, it's been a much easier transition into this year with having an AD. And, you know, Mark's been around for a lot of years, and he's been a lot of help to me. So we're looking forward to getting into football season here a little farther, and a lot of kids are returning. Not only are we going to field a varsity team this year, we're going to have a fresh off team as well. So things are really looking up.
Well, that is fantastic. So what are your numbers for the program here?
We're sitting right at 33.
And for where you were a year ago, that is a remarkable number.
Yep. The school and the kids have really rallied around the football team this year, and a lot of kids come out, and things are looking up.
And I think you've got a number of seniors out this year too, don't you?
Yeah, we've got 9 returning seniors, and they're dedicated and really pushing each other to be better every day.
And, of course, last year you had so many freshmen playing varsity football. As you look forward to this year, that experience those kids got last year, it has to have helped them.
Oh, it has. And they were forced to mature early last year in playing varsity football as freshmen. And throughout the summer and stuff, they really responded well to it. So we're looking forward to what those kids can do this year.
And, you know, you had some injuries last year, which is bound to happen when you play freshman at the varsity level. But for some of the kids who got hurt last year, have they been able to rebound and ready to go for this year?
Oh, yeah. Just they're like the injuries didn't even happen, and they're good. Ready to go.
And what are your, I guess, expectations for this year? You're not going to judge it in wins and losses, I wouldn't imagine. So what type of growth do you want to see from your team this year?
Well, I mean, everybody defines success in different ways. We define success as how they respond to mistakes, losses, and how they gather together and rally around each other. So that's what we're really looking to build upon is the team aspect of football.
And you guys have a tough one week one at Greenville. But I tell you what, Tom, there's been years where Litchfield is quote-unquote down and has no chance, and they go to Greenville and give them a ball game.
Yeah, it's kind of an unexpected maybe rivalry, mm-hmm. if you want to look at it like that. But, you know, Coach Hutch and the Greenville organization is a great organization, like you said, and they've been running together for a lot of years, and they're going to be good year in and year out when you have that kind of dynamic.
And obviously, a 28-game losing streak for Litchfield, that can weigh on a coach, it can weigh on a program. But from the kids' perspective, that doesn't matter because most of them, they weren't around for it.
Yeah, you know, it is a harsh reality that a lot of coaches have to face. But, you know, it's the next game up, and the kids are really looking at it like that as well. So, you know, next game up, and we're going to do our best when we get there.
Sounds great. Tom Priddle, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning, and best of luck this year, sir.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Tom Priddle, the head coach of the Litchfield Purple Panthers. And, yeah, the last win came in Week 8 of 2015. That was under Pat Rents, and that put Litchfield at 4-4 as they headed to Week 9 against Carlinville with a chance to make the postseason. So, but it's just good to see that the Litchfield – numbers are up, and it was a mess from the get-go last year. I mean, we were sitting here on our football preview show last year talking about, will they even field a team? And they did. It was varsity only, but it's good to hear they got a fresh soft season this year, a good number of seniors out this year. So it's good to see that it looks like the Litchfield numbers are on the uptick, and certainly we'll keep our eye on the Purple Panthers here throughout the year. Let's turn our attention now to the Gillespie Miners and Jacob Bilbrook entering his third year at the helm of the Miners. They finished 4-5 last year, and boy, they were a touchdown away in Week 8 from beating Greenville, and then who knows what would have happened from there. But Jacob joins us on the phone right now. Good morning, Coach.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Hey, as you look back, does that Week 8 game at Greenville, does it kind of eat at you still even now?
I mean, there's you know, that went by. You know, springtime, you know, that we didn't done differently. And, you know, even week one, well, Fidelia, I mean, we're a couple plays away, and, you know, there's several here that we're
Jacob, we don't have a great connection with you right now. We're going to hang up and try to get back with you, as we weren't getting a lot of what Jacob was saying there, unfortunately. So hopefully we can get him in a better cell phone spot here in just a moment as we talk with Jacob Bilbrook, the head coach of the Gillespie Miners, here on our football preview show. And technology's great until it doesn't work. In 2019, just assume the cell phone's going to work. But wherever Jacob was, it wasn't great for the cell phone reception, so hopefully we can get a better signal with Jacob here and get his thoughts on the upcoming Gillespie season. They got 55 kids in the program. They got 17 letter winners back from last year, 5 returning starters on defense, 3 returning starters on offense, and it'll be a 5 home game slate for Gillespie this year. They will open week 1 home to Vandalia, then back-to-back road games at Litchfield and Pena. Week 4, they are back home to take on Southwestern. Week 5, they travel to Hillsboro. Week 6, they will host Carthenville. Week 7, they will be at Roxana. Then they close out the year with 2 home games with Greenville and Staunton. And it's always nice when you get that 5 home game slate. And we could kind of make out Jacob talking about, you know, they were close last year in a couple of different games. And when you finish 4-5 like they did, a game or two, either way, obviously, can make a huge difference. Still trying to get a better connection with Jacob Bilbrook here on our football preview show. He's in his 3rd year now, and they've had the steady improvement. They went 2-7 in his first year, 4-5 last year. So if they can continue that type of progression, it should end in a very nice season for the Gillespie Miners. Note for Gillespie, they will now play at Don DeBrino Field, as that was renamed in the legendary coach's honor a few weeks ago. So that's a great honor for one of the great, not just football people, but great people from around the area over the years. Of course, he played minor league baseball, played in the Rose Bowl back in the day, did Don DeBrino, longtime coach at Gillespie, of course, coached to great success at Mount Olive, took them to a couple of state semifinal appearances, and it's always great when you can see Don DeBrino hanging around a football team, and it's going to be fun to see the Miners playing at Don DeBrino Field here in 2019. Just one of the absolute greats. And I remember seeing him, and then last year, the year before Gillespie, and it was rap music just blaring out of the Gillespie locker room, and Coach DeBrino was standing outside, and I commented to him, I said, "That's probably a little different music than you guys were listening to back in the day." And he just kind of chuckled. It's like, "Yeah, that's not what we were listening to back when I was playing ball." And I think we are in the process of getting Jacob back on the phone here, hopefully, as the cell phone connection was not the best in the world for Jacob Bilbrook here on this Saturday morning. You know, when we look at the South Central Conference, Vandalia was the preseason favorite. Payne is up there, of course. Greenville's up there. Carthenville's right there. But you get into the middle pack of that South Central Conference, you know, it's always the race for 5 to get in to the postseason. And, you know, Staunton's in that mix. We'll have a conversation with Zachary Ferguson coming up a little bit later in the hour. Gillespie's certainly in that mix. And we heard Duffy allude to it. Every game in the South Central Conference is so important for that very reason, because it could be the difference between postseason and not postseason. When you're not in a closed conference, you know, 5 wins might not get you in. But when you're in the South Central or the Sangamo, based on the point system we have now for at least the next 2 years, you get 5, you're going to get in. And we have Jacob back with us. Can you hear us all right, sir?
Yeah, I can hear you now. I had to switch to a landline. You know, sometimes cell phone service out here, I don't.
A little spotty. The old landline. I didn't know they still had those.
Yeah, I had to go to school and get on the old landline.
Well, I appreciate you hopping on the landline. And, Jacob, you were kind of talking about last year. You had a couple of games there where they were really close to turning the whole fortune of your season.
Yeah. And, you know, you had asked if it kind of eats at us. And, yeah, absolutely it does. You know, we, you know, clinics and things like that throughout the year. And, you know, so we're always brainstorming, trying to come up with ideas. And yeah, it does. It eats at you. And I think the only medicine for your illness is, you know, just getting back out there for another season and giving it a go.
And you got a nice group of returning players from last year.
Yeah, we got quite a bit of good kids back, and you know, our younger kids have stepped up nicely. You know, kind of filled some of those voids left by some of the graduating seniors last year, and our camaraderie has been great. The kids all like each other. They're all working hard for each other. And, you know, hopefully it just carries right on over and we keep improving.
And, you know, camaraderie, it's important in any sport or really just life in general, but football specifically, it is such a team game, the ultimate team game, really, in a lot of ways. So when you get everybody pulling in the same direction, boy, that is such a benefit.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. Yeah, I mean, it's, see, I try to tell the kids that it is the ultimate team game. You know, and not that I, you know, dislike baseball or dislike basketball. It's just, you know, one guy can kind of carry those two things for you. And, you know, when you got a football team, you need all 11, you know, like you said, pulling in the right direction to be successful. And you know, that's kind of what we've spent a lot of time on, you know, making sure that everybody's, you know, I heard Coach Duff talk about effort and energy. I mean, I think that's a great way to put it, you know. Put it into words what you're trying to get out of your team.
And as you look at your team this year, I would imagine playoffs are the goal.
Yeah. I mean, we do our goals every year, and playoffs is always up there. And our goal right now is to beat Vandalia week one, and we'll see where we go from there. But, yeah, that's definitely a long-term goal for us for sure.
You know, that's always the thing about football, too. You know, you got media guys like me talking about the whole broad scope of the season. You got fans thinking the same way. But as a coach, and then your job to make sure that the players aren't thinking that way. It's singular focus, one week at a time.
Yeah, and that's probably the hardest part of my job is getting, you know, getting everybody to understand what we're trying to do. I mean, what do you think? How many wins, how many losses? And I'm like, well, you know, our expectation is we're going to win every single game.
Right.
We're going to do everything we can. So, you know, you can't go 9-0 without going 1-0. And, you know, you can't go 2-0 without going 1-0, those old cliches. But, yeah, one week at a time for sure. And we got a big one week one.
And you like I would imagine you like the progress of the program here. You're in your third year, two wins first year. Four wins last year. So as you kind of evaluate the program since you've been the head man, just kind of talk about the evolution of the program and where you are now opposed to year one.
I think that just me as the head coach in general. I mean, I didn't know, you know, what the heck I was doing week one or year one. I was fortunate enough. I had some. Guys that have been doing it a long time, some people very long time, as you know, you know, it's just a learning experience every single year. You know, last year I felt a little bit more comfortable. This year I feel even more comfortable. You know, and I don't think that, you know, really our mindset hasn't changed around here. I mean, we know what it takes, to win, and, I feel like we've done a decent job of you know, doing that and getting the kids in the right mindsets and things like that. And you know, I'm just trying to be positive, trying to get our kids to stay positive and work together. And you know, I think we're heading in the right direction.
And you mentioned one of the coaches has been there a long time, of course, Don DeBrino, is as good as it gets. And Jake, it's really neat that you guys will be playing on Don DeBrino Field now.
Yeah, you know, I drove, like I said, I came up to the school here to get on the landline. And man, it just still gives me, you know, chills. I get to, you know, look at that sign every night on the scoreboard, and you know, somebody who means so much to me, somebody who means so much to our community.
that, you know, and he came out last night and gave a good speech. And, you know, we kind of pulled the banner away and let the sign, you know, hang there. And, you know, it was touching for him, and it means a lot to us, and it means a lot to the community.
He's still got it, doesn't he?
He's never going to lose it. I mean, he's our greatest, and, you know, he's our T-tote, you know.
There you go.
You guys. I mean, there's never going to be another Don DeBrino around Gillespie football, and, you know, just that we get to, you know, pay tribute to him the right way, and, yeah, I mean, yeah, he's just our greatest. That's it.
That's fantastically said, Jake. Thank you so much for a few minutes of your time. Best of luck this year. We look forward to talking to you throughout the season, sir.
I appreciate it. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, Jacob Bilbrook, the head coach of the Gillespie Miners. And we thank Jacob for going above and beyond and getting to the landline. So that was very good. We need to get to a break here on our football preview show. When we come back, we will talk with Nokomis head coach Paul Watson when Sports Saturday rolls on.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
David Jenkins, thank you so much. Back here on our football preview show, as we're going to be talking 8-man football coming up at the top of the hour with Michael Burke of Bunker Hill, and we'll have 8-man football on the radio week one. Pawnee will be at Bunker Hill. That will be our second broadcast feature week one. We'll have Litchfield at Greenville Live, the Pizza Man pregame show, of course, at 6:30, but excited to talk some 8-man football coming up about 10 o'clock here on Sports Saturday. We also have conversations to bring you with Auburn's Dave Bates and Staunton's Zach Ferguson as well. Getting set to talk Nokomis football with head coach Paul Watson entering his fourth year. The Skins went 5-4 last year but missed the playoffs. They had 32 playoff points. They needed 38 to get in, and they had a non-conference win against Sullivan, who went 0-9. So Nokomis got nothing out of that in terms of playoff points. Now, coming up, 5 road games for Nokomis this year. They will have a couple of non-conference games against the Central Illinois Conference with Ocala Valley and Central A&M, who went 8-4 last year. And those will be the first 2 games out of the gate for Nokomis. And happy to be joined now by head coach Paul Watson. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Hey, we're doing good, and football season is upon us. I would imagine that the anticipation is quite high this morning.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. We are ready.
And, you know, that's the thing about football. We always say it's the fastest 9 weeks in sports. You wait all year for it to get here, and then in the blink of an eye, it's over. So from a coaching perspective, is it hard to stop and kind of appreciate it as it's happening? Because each game's so important. You got so much going on.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's always said it's different than other sports, basketball, baseball. I mean, every game counts. You can go into basketball and, well, like our schedule, you know, we play a heavy schedule right before Christmas. And, you know, those games matter, but they don't matter for postseason. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty get after it and go, and every game you got to play like it's your last.
And with, you know, with football, it could be your last because you never know how it's going to break from week to week. But you start with non-conference games this year at Ocala Valley and then against Central A&M. And, you know, last year, of course, you got the 5 wins but didn't get in on the points. And from a coaching perspective, that had to be frustrating.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, the good thing is we've got almost everybody back except for handful of guys, and you know, these seniors this year, they remember that, and you know, our goal is to get to that 6 win so we don't have to worry about those points.
That's exactly right. And you got Alex Tassetti, and this kid, he's just a top flight athlete.
Oh, absolutely.
And as you know, we know what he did on the basketball court, but just talk a little bit about what he brings to the football field.
Well, and that's, you know, being that multi-sport athlete, and you know, he's a competitor, and he doesn't like to lose at anything. So it doesn't matter if it's rock, paper, scissors, or if it's, you know, basketball, football, baseball. And he kind of gets that attitude out to the rest of the team, and he's doing a good job for us.
And he is that dual threat type of quarterback, isn't he?
Yes, he is. And that was, you know, our scrimmage game last night. I really don't care for scrimmage games like that because you're always afraid somebody's going to get hurt,
right.
And he kind of took them. Ran the ball a couple few times, too many that I thought, you know, I'm like, hey, let's just save a little bit of that till next week, and, you know, don't take those extra chances there where you might, you know, sprain a knee or an ankle or something. So, but yeah, he's pretty good.
And you know, those scrimmage games, I guess they're a necessary evil because you just mentioned the injury risk. But you got to have some sort of live game simulated action before you get into the real thing.
Yeah, you know, and as from a coach standpoint, I'd rather just have practice on Friday night and think about week one.
you got 40 kids there about in the program this year, and for a small school in 2019, that seems like a pretty respectable number.
Yeah, you know, it's really good. It's kind of hard to find some of these underclass games for schools our size because their numbers are, you know, a lot of numbers are down. And so, you know, we've actually got Taylorville on our JV schedule to try to fill the full schedule for those younger kids so they get their night to play. And but, yeah, we're pleased with their numbers.
And when you can't have the underclass schedule, that does have then a big effect on your varsity program when the kids coming up that you need to contribute on varsity haven't gotten the reps at the lower level.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and those kids, they get frustrated. You get the freshmen, sophomores in there that, that maybe get a play in here or there on a Friday night, but they go through all week and, work their tails off for practice, and then they don't have their game to show what they've been doing. So, you know, some will get frustrated and don't go out the next year or quit during the year or something. So, yeah, you know, that's one thing. We want to make sure that we have a full underclass schedule and, get those kids a chance to show what they've learned.
Prairie State Conference only had one playoff team a year ago. That was Wood River. How do you see the Prairie State stacking up this year, Paul?
It'll be East on Wood River there and probably be at the top again. And then, you got to look at Marquette. Marquette's Marquette. You got Madison that you're not really, I'm not sure what they'll have. I know February they called and said they weren't even going to play, and then they found a few kids, they said, so now they're playing.
Hmm.
So DuPo's getting better. They're turning stuff around with the new coach staff there, and so they'll be competitive there with Kincaid as well. So, and I think we should be up towards the top ourselves.
Now, from a scheduling standpoint, that's the last thing you want to hear in February. A conference school saying, we're not going to play. So, did you scramble around and have a game in your back pocket in case you needed it?
No, because we were trying to scramble to find a replacement for Pawnee and South Mac. So, yeah, we didn't. Our back pocket was empty already.
it was a full pocket.
Yeah, and then last night I heard a couple guys were talking there before the game, some dads there, that we've got Martinsville as a non-conference, and one of the dads were saying that they heard that Martinsville's only got about 15 kids. So there's one that we're thinking, well, shoot, are we going to be kind of like last year when we went to play South Mac and we got a forfeit there, and, that kind of hurt us on our points, playoff points. So, we want to play each Friday night, and those times that we don't. It's kind of frustrating.
Yeah, no doubt. Paul Watson, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir. Good luck this year, and I hope you get to play 9.
Thank you, guys.
All right, Paul Watson of Nokomis. And actually, I hope to get to play 10 and 11. But, yeah, boy, if you have to get regular season games put into that forfeit column like they did last year, and sounds like maybe it might be, unfortunately, a reality again this year. It's just not what you're looking for from a coaching perspective or a player perspective, because we've talked about it. You only get 9 games, and you want to be able to play all 9. We're going to switch gears now and talk about the Sangamo Conference, as yesterday I had a chance to catch up with longtime head coach Dave Bates of the Auburn Trojans. Joining us now on Sports Saturday is Auburn head football coach Dave Bates. And Dave, you're getting ready for your 34th year at the helm. Does it seem like it's been 34 years coming up here?
No, not really. I mean, I'm a year, this is my last year teaching. My wife just retired. It doesn't seem like, I came to Auburn in 1986, and it doesn't seem like it should be that, but it is. So.
And Dave, I know I've heard coaches across the spectrum talk about when practice isn't fun anymore, that's usually when it's time to go. You still enjoy practice as much as you did in year one?
You know what? I do. I last couple of years we've been down a little bit, and it's kind of maybe taken a little bit of the fun out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of a little rejuvenated this year with the bunch I have and a lot of seniors, a lot of kids that played as sophomores and kind of took their lumps are now seniors. So I think it should be fun.
Missed the playoffs last year for the first time since 1996. Just let that sink in for a moment. 1996, before last year, was the last time you missed the playoffs. Just an amazing run at any school, especially a small public school. But Dave, did you sense a different kind of vibe and mood from your kids this off season?
You know what, I did. I think they, felt like they let the program down a little bit and all that stuff. And you know, it is what it is. You know, we'll start a new run here. Mm-hmm. But they're excited. They want to, you know, play better, get into the playoffs, do something in the playoffs, and rightfully so.
You mentioned the senior group you have this year, and whenever you can have a solid senior group, that really can make a big difference for a club.
Yeah, and a lot of who we have coming back are linemen, which makes it even better. And so we're excited. We've got some skilled kids sprinkled in there too that are seniors, and then we got a couple of kids that didn't come out last year that I got to go out this year. A couple of basketball players, which really helped us at the skill level.
What are your numbers?
We're right at 60. We're a little up from what we were the last couple of years. Last couple of years, we were probably around in the 50s, in the low 50s. So.
And I feel like for 2019, 60 is a big number, Dave.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, back in the 2000s, we would have 80, mm-hmm. you know. But 60 is good. 60 is a good number, I think, for a high school football team. So, and that's freshman through seniors. So, but that was some of our problem the last couple of years, where in practice it wasn't as competitive because our numbers weren't as high and we didn't have as many. I mean, our upfront people, the ones and twos, there's not a lot of difference. So mm-hmm. it's made for a pretty good preseason practices.
And that might be something that, you know, casual fans don't really think about, is competitive practice. Having practice is one thing. Having a competitive practice is completely different.
Yeah. You know, really, we've only had a couple times where this year where we've had to bring down one freshman to just help us get a good look. But the last couple of years, we were bringing down many more freshmen, and the freshmen pretty much have been practicing by themselves this year. So that's good, really, for both parties.
Dave, as you look at the Sangamon Conference this year, you mentioned you got a bunch of linemen coming back. And when you can control the line of scrimmage any day, but especially in the Sangamon Conference, boy, is that critical.
Yeah, you know, because there's not an easy week in the Sangamon. They're all pretty darn tough. And you're challenged every week. And if you don't have some of that physicality, you're not going to last very long. You know, you're going to end up wearing down. So you got to be ready to go. And that's kind of one of the reasons we feel like, because of our upfront people, that we should, you know, be pretty solid.
You open at home against New Berlin in week one. How do you, I mean, it's a week-to-week thing. So when you're in your preseason practice, is all the focus on New Berlin, or are you more just kind of trying to get your team ready for the season in its entirety?
You know what? In the summertime, we're looking at the whole season and maybe doing stuff, all the kinds of different stuff. When we get to the preseason, for the most part, we're studying, you know, our opponent that we're gonna see week one, and maybe sprinkle in some other things of some of the week two, week three opponents that we might, you know, see also.
Did I feel like you were ahead of the game, and you've been running that spread offense for a long time? It's kind of commonplace now, but I remember years ago you were spreading people out and making it tough.
You know, when we started doing it in the early 2000s, there were only a handful of programs in the state that did it, and to the point where honestly you couldn't even really watch a football game and get anything out of it because nobody was doing it even at the college mm-hmm. or pro level. And so a lot of the stuff when I first started, I kind of, I always threw the ball when we were in the eye. But when we went to the shotgun, some of the stuff I kind of made up my own just because it wasn't out there, you know.
And when you saw more teams going to the spread, did part of you think, what took you guys so long?
Yeah. Well, now, you know, obviously that's all you see.
Yeah.
And so you could come up with new plays and gadgets and gimmicks all the time. But back then, it was, honestly, the defenses hadn't caught up, and it was rather easy initially because I don't think the defenses realized what they needed to do to stop it. But now it's totally changed because everybody does it.
Dave, clearly playoffs is the goal for Auburn this year, but from your perspective, what are a couple of the things that you guys need to improve on from a year ago to make that happen?
Well, our upfront people are going to have, on both sides of the ball, I think, are going to have to dominate. Some of our new kids that have come in are going to have to contribute. I'm going to have a junior quarterback that played a little bit of varsity last year, but he really is untested but has come a long way. And then, I think defensively, we're going to have to play well. We should, because we return a lot of kids on defense.
Dave Bates, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, sir, and best of luck this year.
Thanks a lot, guys.
The great Dave Bates of the Auburn Trojans entering his 34th year. And, of course, Dave was instrumental in getting the Sangamo Conference started, which will be in its 10th year of playing football here in 2019, and it has turned into a powerhouse of a league. They are represented at the state finals on an annual basis here as of late. Williamsville is the preseason coach's favorite to win the Sangamo this year, with Athens and Murrow Forsyth in a tie for second. So we've talked about the Sangamo. We've talked about the South Central. We've talked about the Prairie State. Now we're going to talk about eight-man football. This is something that is relatively new. It's been around for a couple of years, but we're seeing a few area teams jump into the eight-man game this year. We've got Pawnee playing, Metro East Lutheran will be playing, and Bunker Hill will be playing eight-man football. And we're happy to be joined by their head coach, Michael Burke. Michael, Tim Mize here at WSMI. Thank you so much for a few minutes of your time. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on here.
Hey, I guess
this is awesome.
Hey, first off, tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of your background.
Oh, okay. Well, this is actually my 24th year of coaching. I've been coaching at some level since 1995. And the past 2 years, I was with a co-op high school up north, River Valley. And then I was hired to come down here and help start up eight-man football at Bunker Hill.
24 years ago. Did you ever think there'd be such a thing as eight-man football?
Honestly, no.
Yeah.
I mean, I was a big fan of arena football.
Right.
Arena football was pretty much growing at that time, back in the early mid-90s. And so I was never thought about that.
Talk to us a little bit about the structure of eight-man. I don't know much about it. The field is narrower, correct?
Correct. The field is only 40 yards wide, but it's still traditional 100 yard long. Offensively and defensively, instead of 11 men, you have 8 men, obviously. And, with the 8-man offense or 8-man football, traditional lineman numbers don't apply, like they do in, regular football. So anybody can have whatever number they want. So with offense, instead of 7 on the line of scrimmage to start a play, you need 5. Other than that, it's still just football.
And with the 5 on the line, you don't have to report as an eligible receiver. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I think with eight-man football, you got a wild, crazy imagination when it comes to designing plays. You can come up with a variety of scenarios that an offensive lineman is an eligible pass receiver.
So, I thought I had understood that. So, in theory, your center could catch a pass?
Yep, absolutely.
That is fascinating. And you talk about a whole nother layer to the game. That could be quite entertaining to see the runner or the sitter running a little hook pattern.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you can design stuff. I think, you know, what that helps is, you know, in high school football, you know, you kind of want to reward your seniors, mm-hmm. you know, and if you got a senior lineman, you kind of want to give him a chance to do something he's never got a chance to do. And, you know, in eight-man football, you know, it's going to be every week he gets a chance to do something he never got to do before. So it's a lot of fun. The kids absolutely love it.
Talk with Michael Burke, the head coach at Bunker Hill. They will be playing eight-man football, hosting Pawnee coming up in week one. A game we'll have on WQSMI FM 106. And, Coach, you mentioned arena football. I guess in some ways that's kind of what eight-man football exactly is. It's going to be spread them out, high octane, quick pace.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if your team, you got some pure athletes on your team that, you know, you can get them out in space and get them the ball and just let them do what they do best. You know, it's really going to keep you on your toes, so to speak. Now, one main difference from arena football to eight-man football is that, like in arena ball, the motion, you know, players in motion are very similar to what you see in Canadian footballs where they can run towards the line of scrimmage.
Right.
But with eight-man football, it's traditional. You have to be parallel or go away from the line of scrimmage. Or else, you know, it's an illegal motion. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh no, I was going to ask what your numbers were.
We have about 22 kids on the team right now, and we were actually approached by a few more that was, you know, they weren't sure about playing football, and mm-hmm. they weren't sure about you know eight-man football. And last night we had our meet the Minutemen night, and I kind of took the time to explain to everybody what they would be seeing on Friday nights, you know, the difference between traditional 11-man football and 8-man football, and I think it piqued the interest of a few of the kids that were on the fence. So,
and you guys will have a couple of close games, Pawnee, Metro East Lutheran, but there is going to be some travel involved here.
Oh yeah! Right now we got a road game at Polo, and that's on I think week three, I believe. And then we do have a game against Rockford Christian Life up there. Now they've been playing eight-man football for about 4 or 5 years, I believe. Hmm. So they've been involved for quite a while.
I think there's about 15 teams in the state that are playing eight-man, but there is a postseason, right?
Correct. There's only I believe one team that's not eligible for postseason, and that's because their enrollment is so high. I believe it's Lake Forest Academy. I'm not 100% sure on that, but there's a postseason, and every team is currently eligible for the playoffs.
It's gonna be a lot of fun, and when you get something new like this, you know, the unknown quality of it certainly makes it exciting. You mentioned the kids are loving it. I would imagine the enthusiasm through the school. It's good to see because what Bunker Hill's been through with the football the last few years, and the South Mac Co-op had to cancel the season last year. You know, there was a lot of kids who were upset and maybe a little bit down about the prospects of football. So to be able to get out and still play ball, that has to be exciting for them.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, and I can't begin to praise the kids at Bunker Hill enough for the enthusiasm, the leadership, the pure joy, and the work ethic that they have coming in. You know, coming in as a brand new coach with new terminology and new way of doing things, I didn't know what to expect, mm-hmm. but the kids at Bunker Hill have just been amazing, and also I can't praise them enough. The community support has been outstanding. the support throughout the school has been phenomenal. I mean, I was welcomed in with open arms, and you know, it's just awesome and amazing. And I think it helps when a community like that, you know, gets behind the kids. That gets the kids excited, and that makes them work just that much harder to, you know, please everybody.
Fantastic stuff. Michael Burke, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir, and best of luck this year.
Well, thank you very much, and I want to say a big thank you for the promotion you're giving us and coming out to see our game next Friday. We can't wait to meet you guys.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Thank you very much to Michael Burke, and that will be Pawnee at Bunker Hill, Week 1. It'll be our second broadcast feature here on WUSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville, your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois. The Pizza Man pregame show at 6:30, Litchfield at Greenville live at 7, and then 8-man football, Pawnee at Bunker Hill, probably around 9:15 broadcast time here on FM 106. So that 8-man football sounds exciting, and with the linemen being eligible receivers, that's just going to add a whole nother layer to the excitement level coming up for the 8-man game.
So they're going to have playoffs this year?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't think they were eligible until a few years. So everyone is eligible. So it's like a regional. Everyone's eligible for playoffs except
everyone's
for that one team.
Except for Lake Forest Academy.
Yeah. That's interesting.
That is interesting. So who knows? Maybe we'll have between Pawnee or Bunker Hill, maybe we'll have an 8-man football state champion day.
Hey, how about that?
Never know. Fun stuff.
If you are an advertiser in that area and you'd like to get on board, get a hold of us.
Get on the ground floor, as they say.
Absolutely.
That's right. Hey, let's go back to 11-man football now. We're going to rejoin our conversation about the South Central Conference. Earlier, we had a chance to catch up with Bulldog head coach Zach Ferguson to talk about Staunton season. Joining us on Sports Saturday now is Staunton Bulldogs head football coach Zach Ferguson. And, Zach, the time is upon us, and I would imagine that the anticipation is hard to bear at this point.
Yeah, I mean, going later this year with, you know, starting a week later than we're used to and, you know, having three full weeks of practice, it's definitely, you know, after our scrimmage last night, we're definitely looking forward to being game week now.
Yeah, I mean, after 3 weeks of hitting each other, it's time to hit somebody else.
Yeah, I mean, the kids are tired of hitting each other, but they've been working hard, and, you know, it's one of those things where now we can kind of switch it up a little bit and they can start preparing for Pena, and I think they're ready to go for that.
Obviously, it was a playoff year for you last year. You've got a lot of talent coming back, but you did lose some very important pieces from last year. So in terms of replacing what you lost last year, how's that looking so far?
Well, we had a great class last year, you know. We did lose a lot of our starters. We do bring back quite, you know, five or six guys who got some significant playing time last year. We got a good sophomore class. We got some good juniors. So, you know, we're looking for those guys to step up. I mean, we got some sophomores who are going to be stepping up to the varsity level. And, you know, we're excited about what we have. They are a little bit inexperienced, but, you know, we're looking forward to seeing what they do.
And it seems like your numbers for 2019 are pretty respectable.
Yeah, I mean, we got 53 people, 53 players. You know, last year we had 53-2. My first year we had 43. So, you know, as long as we are in the 50 range, I feel pretty good about our numbers because, you know, we've grown them and the kids are, you know, are buying in and getting interest back in football here. And, you know, that was the whole goal of you know, when I came here is to get the numbers up to the 50s.
And I remember when we did our boys soccer preview a couple weeks ago, talking with your soccer coach, Matt Larson, I asked him how many kids he was getting from Mount Olive. He said, well, he's like, not that many are in the program for soccer. What are you seeing in terms of your numbers from Mount Olive?
Well, we have 7 from Mount Olive, so I'm happy with that number. We knew when we, you know, took them over, it was going to take some time to grow it, just like we had to do with, you know, even our kids at our school. So, you know, the 7 we have, you know, we got some guys who are going to help us big time, and, you know, in the starting role or in a subbing role. I was over there, you know, 5 or 6 times in the spring talking to the guys, and you know, the guys that are with us, they don't miss practices. They didn't miss any hardly any summer practices. They've really bought into what we're trying to do. And then the goal is just to continue to grow those numbers as we move forward.
And it almost makes you a little bit like a college coach in terms of you're going off campus to recruit.
Well, I mean, they don't know me, you know, I'm not from this area, you know, our guys didn't know me, you know, 4 years ago. So, you know, being where they were with, you know, South Mac for 2 years, mm-hmm. they didn't really, you know, get exposed to us. And it's also about them learning to trust me and trust what we're doing here and know that, you know, we're going to take the best interest for them and that we're trying to, you know, get as many of them as possible to be incorporated into our program because that's what we want. And, you know, it's just going to take some time for them to feel, you know, as you know, it's not, you know, Mount Olive. You know, they're a part of our program, and, you know, we treat them just like we treat our kids.
And, Zach, I would imagine that now that you're getting yourself established with Staunton, the kids in the program now, you're what they know. Opposed to the first year coming in, there's a lot of unknowns, and, boy, what's Coach going to do? But now they know what you expect of them.
Yeah, I mean, they know the expectations. They know how I expect to practice, how I expect to play, you know, how they're supposed to be in the classroom. You know, they know the consequences for those if mm-hmm. they don't, you know, if they don't follow our expectations. So, you know, as far as expectations go, you know, we've kind of set the bar to where we want to be. And it's also, you know, I give credit to that senior class last year where, you know, they led by example and the younger guys saw what it took to be successful and, you know, to get to the playoffs. And it's really kind of trickled down to our younger guys. And even, you know, in our JFL program, you know, it's starting to trickle down there. So overall, we have a really good base as far as our coaches are all on the same page. The coaches know the expectations. And then, you know, they deliver it to the players. And it's making my job a little easier.
And, I mean, that's how programs get built, when the upperclassmen teach the underclassmen and those underclassmen think, wait a minute, they taught me, so now I'm going to teach the younger guys, and on it goes. And before you know, you got something real good working.
Exactly, you know, and we feel pretty good about, you know, where our program is at this point. You know, only being year three, making the playoffs, you know, in year two, that's a big mm-hmm. deal for people who know how to turn a program around, how long sometimes that takes. So we're looking forward to this season and seeing where we're at, and then we're looking forward to the future because we definitely got some good things coming up here at Staunton.
And obviously when you go into every year, playoffs are the goal. Do you feel that's a realistic expectation and goal for the Bulldogs this year?
Yeah, I do. I think some teams are going to look at us and think that, you know, we lost so many guys that, you know, we're going to be rebuilding. And I don't necessarily think we're going to be rebuilding. I feel like we're going to definitely have some growing pains,
mm-hmm.
Especially with our, you know, sophomores and some of our juniors who haven't got the experience that we've had. But I think as the season moves forward, we're going to get better every week. And, you know, hopefully, you know, the goal is to be, you know, get at least 5 wins. And I think that's a very possible scenario.
And when you have a younger team, it's nice to have a 5 home game slate, and you get to start off with back-to-back home games. Now, there'll be physical ball games with Pena and Hillsboro, but at least they're at home.
Yeah, I mean, we're excited about, you know, anytime you play Pena, you know, they're going to be a solid team, and Hillsboro's the same way. You know, they're going to be a solid team. You know, you're not going to be able to make mistakes and get away with them. You know, and those first two games are kind of, especially, you know, the week one where we haven't played anybody but ourselves, you kind of gauge what you need to work on and, you know, where you're at as a team, because you can practice as much as you want, but until you play somebody, sometimes you don't really know exactly what you got. I mean, those two teams being at home, that's definitely a good thing for us. But we're ready. You know, we know they're going to be battles, and we know we're going to have to play well to compete with them.
You mentioned you had your scrimmage last night. Obviously, the most important thing is to come out of that thing healthy. But as a coach, What do you hope to gain when you have the scrimmage the week before the season starts?
Well, we just want to see what we do, and, you know, in the live, you know, in practices we go live, but we, you know, it's very controlled. And, you know, last night we kind of let the kids, you know, really get physical and fly around and, you know, really tackle each mm-hmm. other in the offensive line and let the running backs, you know, finish their runs, you know, being tackled and things like that. So, it helps us kind of gauge our physicality a little bit, and also, you know, what do we need to work on as far as certain aspects of, are we making, you know, the same mistakes we've been making, or, you know, have we corrected them as far as, you know, in a team setting. And, you know, having people there always gets the kids a little juiced up. I mean, they were ready to go when we went out, and I thought all our levels did very well. I mean, they showed great things moving forward, and you know, we're excited about getting this next week and starting to play.
Sounds great. Zach Ferguson, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir, and best of luck next week against Pena.
Thank you very much.
That was Zach Ferguson, the head coach of the Staunton Bulldogs, and that is going to do it for our 2019 football preview show here on WSMI FM 106. Thanks to all the coaches who joined us this morning, and the Pizza Man pregame show kicks it off Friday night at 6:30. Litchfield at Greenville will follow live at 7, and then 8-man football with Pawnee at Bunker Hill. It'll be, like we said, the fastest 9 weeks in sports starts on Friday night. And we got a call coming in. It could be of interest to us, so we're going to hold on just 1 second. The beauty of live radio, the old Audible. I think it is. One of our wonderful football coaches, I do believe, is getting set to join us here on WSMI Sports Saturday. It's a mystery to all of us. I don't know who it is because we had a couple of different calls out. So our football show is not quite done. Oh, but wait, there's more. And David Jenkins is going to tell me that.
It's Pat Bowman.
Pat Bowman of North Mac is joining us on Sports Saturday. Coach, thank you so much for calling in today. How you doing?
Hey, good. How you guys?
Hey, we're doing very well, and it's always fun when football season gets this close. And I can only imagine from a coaching perspective, these next 6 days, are they going to go fast for you, or are they going to be about the longest 6 days of your year?
Actually, they go pretty fast. With all the excitement of week one coming up, they seem like they fly by. It'll be Friday. We know it.
And, Coach, you have pretty high expectations for this year. This could be a banner year for North Mac.
We hope so. We got a lot of kids coming back, a lot of excitement in the air, so we'll see what happens.
And, of course, it's the 10th year for North Mac. It's also the 10th year for the Sangamo. You haven't been a part of the Sangamo for the entirety. You joined in 2012, but it is hard to believe that North Mac has already been around for 10 seasons now.
It does. It seems like yesterday the two towns came together, and a pretty exciting time being season soon. And like I say, there's a lot of excitement around here, and it is a football season like that.
And I think this is really, you know, the Verdon-Girard Co-op, it has worked better, I think, than anyone could have possibly envisioned.
Yeah, right now you don't hear much about the two schools. There's a lot of both towns are solid football towns for forever. Both of them love football, and now they've come together, and it's meshed real well. And now everybody's excited to be one, and now we call ourselves North Mac. And like I say, everybody's football crazy and ready to go.
And you've got good numbers out this year.
We do. We've got 66 kids this year. It's up a little bit. I think we had 52 or so last year. That also helps a lot.
And what also helps a lot is 7 returning starters, I believe, on offense and defense. That's a fantastic number to have back.
We do. Yep, we've got quite a few numbers coming back, so that's always exciting. We've got some guys that have some varsity experience at the starting role and some key players as well.
You got your leading rusher and Bryce Heidler back, but a running back is only as good as the line in front of him, Coach.
You betcha. Yep, and we've got some returning linemen, too, as well. We've got some good guys up front to help those guys out, but you're right. And that's what we talked about this morning. The games this year will be won up front, and they all are.
How's the new field come in? I know the weather hasn't been really cooperating too well.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a wet spring. Seems to be, from the coach's standpoint, I'm ready for it to be done today, but you know how that goes. But, yeah, it was a little rainy, but I hopefully they're putting the work in to get the thing done. That's the hard part also, is getting some workers going.
Right. And your home week one, Tumor of Forsyth, will that game be in Girard?
That game will be in Girard, yes.
And then I would imagine the hope is that homecoming can be the debut of this new field.
We hope so. That's kind of the rumor going around week four. That'd be homecoming. So we're hoping the field's done. We'd like to at least practice on it before we play a game. That'd
be
really
nice. Yeah. Coach, you went 4-5 last year in your first year at the helm, and that was a year it could have ended very differently for you. A couple of games really hung in the balance there, just didn't go your way. So I would imagine this off season, with having as many kids back from last year as you do, that's going to be a great motivating factor.
Oh, it is. Like I tell everybody, we were two plays. We lost. We were on 4th and inches. One game that would have gotten us a win, but we didn't score, and then we lost on a last second play at Plains. We could have taken it in overtime, and then you never know. So very easily could have done that. We did not make it happen, so that does leave a little sour taste, and hopefully we can get things rolling again this year.
How much do you work on situational football, those types of things? 4th and inches, we got to get it to win the game. Is that something you focus on in your preseason work?
We do a lot of that stuff, situational down and distance, getting players to realize, hey, it's, if it's 4th and 15, don't everybody fly up to the line for a run. They got 15 yards to go, and then if we've got 4th and inches, like you said, hey, it's a different mentality. Now it's go time, you need 1 inch, and they always say the game's a game of inches, and it really can be.
And the Sangamo Conference, in a lot of ways, a conference of inches. It's such a deep and talented league that each week you're going to be in an absolute dogfight.
It is. You said it exactly right. It's a dogfight for 9 weeks. There is no week off. There's no rest. And as a coach and a player, you wouldn't want it any other way.
Patrick Bowman, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir, and best of luck week one against Monroe Forsyth.
Hey, thanks so much, guys. Talk to you soon.
All right, that is Patrick Bowman, the head coach of North Mac. And, yeah, hopefully they can get that new field ready for homecoming. That'll be a broadcast we'll have on WQSMI FM 106, their homecoming game against Pittsfield. And then we'll be live on Sports Saturday, that following Saturday, at Scott O'Dell's office. So we look forward to that. Now Sports Saturday.
Nice to squeeze that in there.
Hey, we've worked it out. Better to be lucky than good, they
Absolutely.
Say.
Absolutely.
So, again, thanks to all of our coaches for joining us this morning on our football preview show here on Sports Saturday. Of course, we'll have this up in a podcast for you within the hour. You can also find our volleyball preview and our boys' soccer preview and podcasts also at WQSMIRadio.com. For David Jenkins, I am Tim Mize. Our football preview on Sports Saturday is done. This is your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WQSMI-FM. Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville, 6 days away from kicking it off.